Rest of us, let's open up our Bible to Proverbs 22. We're continuing on in our series on reboot, and today we're going to talk about children and the role of children in our church, and really, I mean, more our role when it deals with our children here. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Proverbs chapter 22, very, very well-known passage. We're going to read Proverbs 22, we're going to read verse 6. Proverbs 22, 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for our beautiful kids, God. And we thank you for blessing us so much, Lord. Right now at this rate, God, we're having a baby born every month, Lord. And actually, it's going to keep going to the end of this year, it looks like. And so we thank you for the privilege as a church, God, to see so much fruitfulness, Lord. And but now, God, we are also aware of our responsibility. And it's not a negative responsibility, it's a positive responsibility. It's a privilege and a joy to care, God, and to cultivate them for your kingdom, God. And so we pray now that you would come and you'd speak to us through your word, God, and give us insight and hope. Father, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Like I said, this year we're going through a series of reboot, and it's basically turning everything on and off and kind of going back to the basics, and we're going to our values, which is really our children. Today, we have four dedications. Actually, in the afternoon service, we're dedicating another three babies in that service as well. I asked the guys to sing that song. Actually, the Whitney Houston song, it's actually not a very good song if you actually really listen to the lyrics well. It's really all about self-empowerment. We're going to try to change the words and, you know, the greatest love is Jesus and, you know, and throw a couple of those things in there. But there is the one line which is really, really profound. I was asked a couple of years ago by the Noah's Ark, by Pastor Carol, to come. They had a Noah's Ark, which is our children's ministry, a teacher banquet. And so I came up and I gave a speech. And I started off my speech by just simply saying, I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. And I finished it, and I thought everyone knew that was a Whitney Houston song. Afterwards, some of the teachers said, wow, that was a wonderful speech. I really enjoyed your speech. And I was like, were you homeschooled? You know, did you never listen to secular music or something? Sorry for all the homeschool people here. But it's really such a wonderful statement. And that's why I asked the guys to sing it. We actually asked a few females, but some were the ones that could do it were unavailable, and the other ones felt like they couldn't pull it off. And so they felt like, no, I can't compare to Whitney. But our guys did a good job. Huh? Good job, guys. Really, really well done. But in that, you know, obviously, we also believe that children, here at SP, that children are our future. I know that sounds really cliche and all these things, but really, I mean, I really believe that. I remember a few years ago when we started having these masses of kids, you know, born into our church, and I was walking by one of the kids, you know, this kid was wild. And he's still a little bit wild now. And I was walking by, so I don't want you to guess, because I don't put any pressure on this kid. But as I was walking by this kid, I had this really, you know, sometimes you get this sense of the Spirit in your heart. And I was walking by this kid, and I just had like a double take. And I had this sense that this kid is going to be the senior pastor of Solomon's Porch. It was like really weird, you know, and I walked by and I was like, oh my goodness, like this kid could very well be the next senior pastor of this church. Not very well be, I mean, I got a really strong sense that this kid was going to be the senior pastor of SP at some point. And so I was actually like, I was getting really excited. I mean, talk about legacy, and you know, it wasn't any of my kids, right? So don't worry about all this. This particular actually was a boy, and I was just, and I think I told the parents that I probably shouldn't have, you know, and I probably told a few other people as well. Please, please, do not put any pressure on this child, okay? You know, let them find their way in this whole thing. But I really believe that. There's such a promise of God. You know, the Proverbs 22 passage, the word is train. Actually, in Hebrew, it's better translated as dedicate. It's the word dedicate in Hebrew. And so it's talking about you dedicate a child in the way that he should go. Now, the way that this is phrased, the Bible is not telling us, the Proverbs is not telling us that we should point a child toward a certain way. In other words, we should make a child go a certain path. The idea is if you train, you dedicate your child well, that child is going to choose that right path. And then the verse goes on and says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is not necessarily talking about that he's going to have a lot of trouble and whatnot. It's more talking about that his life is going to be so focused that his life is not going to be wasted. His life is going to be so glorious that even when he's old, he's going to still continue to go down the path that God has for him. And it's such an amazing thing to think about for us, right? That these kids that we get are our future right here. You know, not only do we believe the children are our future, not only believe that God also believes that, but also the enemy knows that very well as well. You know, the enemy also knows that children are the future. And if you look about through scriptures, throughout history, whenever God is about to do something epic, I mean, God is about to bring a deliverance, a revival, or a move like he's never brought before, you'll notice always the enemy always comes, counteracts that. And what does he do? He kills off the kids. And this happened, you know, probably in Old Testament, the greatest deliverance in the Old Testament was the people leaving Egypt, you know, from slavery into being the people of God. And what happens? And Pharaoh creates an edict that says, kill every male-born child, first male-born child. And then in the New Testament, we have the greatest revival, the greatest deliverance of them all is when Jesus comes onto the scene, and when the Messiah is coming. And now Herod makes an edict that says, kill all the male-born sons. And we see that time and time again, before God is about to do something epic, the enemy counters that, does a preemptive strike, and tries to wipe out a whole generation in that. Even in these modern times, that's why I'm so excited for this upcoming generation. Even in these modern times, the enemy is also systematically killing our children. Now we call it things like choice or women's rights or whatnot, but it's just simply the sin of abortion. You know, and I'm not here to make a political statement, you know, whatnot. I'm just simply here to relay really the gospel and the message of the scriptures. You know, in the ancient world, the slaughter of children, it was dedicated. There was the killing of our children. It was a rite, a sacred rite that was dedicated to what was called the god of Molech. And they would go up to the high places and they would kill the children that way and sacrifice them to the god of Molech. In our modern day times, we're having the very similar idea here. In modern day, it's just simply called abortion. And it's the systematic killing of a whole generation of children that could very well grow into amazing liberators in this world. But the enemy is doing a preemptive strike in that way. Now, I share this, and I'm not trying to make people feel bad. And if you've had an abortion, you know, I'm not here to condemn you or whatnot. Now, listen very carefully. I believe that you have to repent, you know, that you did something that's wrong. There's no qualms about that, right? When God gives life, God gives life for eternity. There is no man that should choose, no woman should choose that, right? Above what God chooses in that regard. And so that's happened. I think you need to repent and go before the Lord and be cleansed. Right? It's not the unpardonable sin, but it's something that you need to take care of business with. Now, for me, this whole story is very personal for me. And because of my history and my family's history, when she was growing up, my mom was a very, very weak. And she, you know, she's always had a very low white blood cell count, and so she didn't really have a lot of antibodies that would fight off illness. And so me growing up, she was usually sick 2-3 days of the week. I mean, just in bed, couldn't do anything for all that time. Well, I found out later on that when my sister was born, my older sister of 2 years, when my sister was born, my mom almost died. And so she was so weak, she couldn't take care of my sister, so my big aunt actually took my sister and raised her. And it wasn't until I think I was in fourth grade that my sister came to move back with us. So they were living in Ohio, we were living in Chicago. And then when we moved to California together, my sister moved back with us. And so just to give you an idea of what's happening, and then my mom got pregnant with me, and she was really in dire straits. It was really, really difficult. And the doctors in Korea actually told her, you need to have an abortion. You need to abort this baby because you're going to die. I mean, this is, you know, not, I mean, we don't know about the survival of your child. Who knows? But you are going to die. And so my mom, without being a Christian and without understanding, she just, for whatever reason, decided, no, I'm going to have this baby. And I came out, right? So I'm pretty excited about that. I know my wife is. I hope you guys are as well. But it really rings so, it's so important to me. And if you take it a whole nother level, and the crazy thing is, when we moved to the United States, so I moved when I was 4 years old, and we moved to Chicago, and we moved to the U.S., my aunts and uncles who had been in the States for a few years before my parents got there told my parents, you know what, you need to create English names for your kids because Korean names are really hard to pronounce for Americans. And so, you know, just give you an idea, my Korean name is Hangyeol. Go ahead, try to say it. Go ahead. Exactly, right? And so as a result, they gave us English names. My mom also took an English name. And so my mom named herself Hannah, and she gave me the name of Samuel. You know, the Bible, right? I mean, pretty crazy. And then later on, my mom became a Christian, and we see the significance of all these things. And my mom, she made a choice. It was amazing. I was, we were at an event in Washington, D.C. years ago, and an event was called The Call. There are 400,000 young people and parents gathered at the mall in Washington, D.C. for a 12-hour prayer and fasting movement. And there are so many incredible speakers that were there, worship teams and whatnot. My favorite speaker in the whole event was this young man. And I forgot his name, but at that time he was probably about 24 years old. And he came up and he just started sharing his heart. And I mean, it's a really tragic story. And he says, and he was giving his testimony, and he was on the fringe of this whole abortion idea. And his mom, when she was much younger, she was actually raped, and unfortunately raped, and then became impregnated by the rapist. And so, but by the grace of God, she was a believer, and she decided to have her baby. And that baby is now 24 years old and took the stage at The Call and was sharing his testimony. And it was powerful. I mean, just to hear him, you know, and just thank his mom, you know, and you know, growing up with all the shame and you know, and all that stuff that goes on with such a tragedy. But for her to make that choice that says God gave life. And when God gives life for eternity. And so she decided to have this baby, and he was an awesome guy, such an eloquent speaker. And he was just talking to a whole generation of young people about this fringe, where in the world we say, okay, yeah, under certain circumstances, it's okay to do this, you know. And he says, no, it's not okay. I mean, not that we're going to dictate choice for people or whatnot, but you never know what God has in store. You know, we read about Joseph in our morning prayer times. With the enemy, right, created and caused for evil, God turned to good. God has a supernatural ability to redeem all things unto himself. And so we get into this whole thing. You know, even this whole thing of abortion rights. You know, in Washington, D.C., I used to spend quite a bit of time there. And in D.C., it's amazing. You know, we talk to all these, I mean, powerful intercessors, powerful people, men and women of God, that just dedicate their whole life to pray in Washington, D.C. for the corridors of power to see God's commandments and his ways and righteousness to really flow through the halls of Congress and the Supreme Court and whatnot. And I prayed with these men and women, you know, I mean, for hours on end. And they shared something with me that really resonated. And they said whenever a ministry would come into D.C. and a ministry, a powerful ministry, would go start going after abortion, you know, go after Roe versus Wade and go after the lobbyists and whatnot, he says that the backlash that they receive is just incredible. And this is one of these, I don't know the easiest way of saying it. This is one of these things that Satan holds over nations. You know, when a nation decides that they're just going to kill off their young, the young born, there's a hold that the enemy has on a nation, on a people, that said this is legitimate to do these kind of things. And they were just telling me the power that goes to work in this thing is just so tremendous. And usually these ministries that come in and really start going after this, they start losing their funding. Their ministry leaders start getting ill. I mean, there's just such a backlash because the devil wants to keep these grasp on this evil that is befalling nations and people and Christians in this regard. Right? Okay. I know it's kind of like a soapbox. Okay, I'm done with that now. But I really do want to relay how important that is for the Lord. Again, it comes out of real personal experience of my own. But let me flip the page a little bit. You know, I believe, again, not only because the enemy is trying to wipe out a whole generation, but I believe there's really something special about this generation. Many of us that are born into immigrant families, and in other words, your parents are from some place and they move somewhere else. You know, my family is part of that. You know, many of your families, you know, either kind of moved to Hong Kong or moved to Australia or to Canada or to the UK, you know, basically to provide a better future for their children. And my parents, that's what they did for us. And there's something as when parents sacrifice all that, I mean, it's not such a outward thing that's spoken, but the simple reality is when they sacrifice everything, their insurance policy became us, right? Most of us that are in this room, we carry the burden of taking care of our family and our parents as they age. And I say, I mean, the burden word sounds bad, but I say it's a privilege of God. You know, our parents sacrificed so much for us. Man, yeah, you know, when they're at that age and they can no longer help themselves, yeah, I think as the people of God, you know, we're going to step in and we're going to help and bless, you know, our own children. That was so cheesy, Ken. Kenny's mom is in the front row, and so Kenny looked at her mom and just looked at his mom and said, you know, I got you, Mom, right? Beautiful. Beautiful but cheesy at the same time. But, I mean, but really that's our privilege. Now, and so in our generation, because, you know, we because of what our parents gave up and sacrificed for us, now we go and, you know, we went to better schools. we got better jobs. You know, our parents were something in their home country, and they go to their immigrant country, and, you know, they struggle making ends meet, but they work hard and to give us a better future. And so now I'm going to speak to us, and now for us, you know, in our generation, we're more educated, probably, to be honest, overly educated. You know, we are successful in a certain way, and we learn about investing, and we learn about retirement. And this is why I have such a hope for our next generation, is that our kids, you know, I mean, the little kids in Noah's Ark and whatnot, they're not going to have to grow up with the expectation of the three Asian professions that are around. You know, doctor, lawyer, and engineer. Now, they can be dancers. Well, your kid, not my son, but your kid can be a dancer if they want. Let's just keep it real, all right? You know? But, I mean, they could go off and, you know, be musicians and actors and actresses and, I mean, kind of whatever God has put a passion in them, because they're not going to really have that burden, hopefully, to take care of us as we get older. And when I see something like that, I just see a whole generation of promise. You know, I mean, you know how difficult, I mean, think about it. You know how difficult it was for me to become a pastor in my family? I mean, really, how incredibly out of the ordinary and struggles and fighting. And my parents were missionaries, right? And just to, when I told them that I also wanted to be a missionary and whatnot, and just the struggles that we had together, you know, as with my parents. And I mean, my parents loved God and all these things, but there were certain things that they were looking forward to as they got older. I was the one that had the business brain and the mind and, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit and all these things. So I was the one that's supposed to be the millionaire and take care of them and, you know, my family and whatnot. And I chose this path. And it was, I mean, I don't regret any part of this path. I love the path that God asked me on. But it was a struggle to even get on this path. You know, Tim Keller, who's the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, his church is about 60% Asian, believe it or not. And so, and he says, and a few years ago, I was having a conversation with him, and he was relaying to me, and he's saying, he really feels for these Asians that are coming to his church, because they want to go into ministry, they want to be missionaries, and they want to do cutting-edge things, but their parents will not let them. No, you cannot. Right? And we're talking about Christian parents, because they're the life insurance policy for their parents. And he was just asking me, like, so how did you do it? You know, what did you go through? And you know, like, I don't know. It's just my parents just saw the light, you know, and I was just so bullheaded that they just finally let go and said, okay, you know, you just kind of do what you want and whatnot. And he says, and Tim was saying he really struggles, because so many people in his congregation struggle. They want to serve God and just go for it and whatnot, and their Asian parents say, no, you cannot. You know, you need to have a respectable, you need to make a lot of money, you need to get married, you need to have kids, you know, and all these good things and stuff. But you know what? Like, even being a missionary and pastor, you can still get married. Yeah, you can still have kids. You know, I mean, we're having four kids. You know, Pastor Sam Kim in Beijing, he's got four kids, and they actually want five. You know, those guys are really crazy and stuff. And you can still, but they're so set in this kind of worldly mentality, and for, you know, us as Christians, as parents in this generation, what a privilege that we get to free our kids in their time, and they could be anything they want, right? They can choose any path they want to choose, even a path that may not, you know, have a lot of money attached to it. But as a generation, as parents that are rising up, we're saying that's okay. Amen? Amen. And some of you guys are still not convinced, right? You still got that Asian, you know, that Confucian thing inside of you, right? Yeah. I did say Confucian, right? Because it's kind of fairly demonic as well. And we have these things. I'm sorry, I just offended everyone here, right? It's okay. I'll blame it on my illness here. But it's creating that atmosphere for our children in this regard. And so, you know, because of my laryngitis, I'm going to keep it really short. And so I just have 2 points. And so in a simple way, just asking a real simple question for us, as a community, what do our children need? Right? You just agreed that you're going to raise these 4 kids together as a church. You know, and then for the 50 plus other kids that we've dedicated here at SP, you know, we've done this for every child. And you said, I'm going to help in some way. And so as a community, you know, what do our children need? What can we do? And again, this is so simplistic for us. And I really did want to just keep it simple. Number one, what can we do? We can pray. We can pray. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. And just say, we can pray for our kids. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says this, again, I say to you that if 2 of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it should be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where 2 or 3 have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's something so powerful about prayer. The best gift that you can give your kids right now is to pray, is to pray. And some of you, I know not everyone here has children, and some of you guys are not even married yet. Pray. Pray for your future spouse. You know, pray for, you know, what God is about to give to you. Pray for your children. You know, prophesy over them. And call out things in the Spirit that God wants to interject in their life. You know, and let me just give this aside real quick. Like I say, even you guys that are not married yet, pray for your spouse. I have 2 very good friends of mine in California, and one, he's a Japanese American, and the other, the woman, is a Korean American. Both very prophetic. And my friend, the woman, for years, Katharina, she would keep a journal, and a prayer journal. And when she got married, when she finally met her husband and got married, she gave him all the years of this journal that she had, and she gave it to him as a wedding gift. Pretty awesome. I mean, it's volumes. And so my friend, what he would do is when he got these journals, he started reading them, and he got saved much, much later in life. And you know what he did? He began to read through these entries, and he began to relay them with his life. And he recognized, and he started seeing that he had this one period of his life was really, really difficult. I mean, really, really bad. He was going through so many things, and he would read her journal entries because she was praying for her husband even at that time. He was praying for him. And he would think about his experience. He would read the journal entries, and they would match like a T. She was basically prophetically praying over her husband, and he recognized, and he just started bawling because he recognized that he was sustained by her prayers. Even then, they didn't even meet, but God knew, right? God had already put that seed in her heart, and eventually got to that place, and it was so amazing. And after they started sharing with me, I mean, I just started praying for my wife all the time. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't know who she was, but I knew she was out there, and I just would pray, and I would prophesy, and all these things, and I got what I prayed for. Praise God. You know? I mean, I couldn't ask for a better partner in this whole thing. And this is the best gift that we can give. Right? You guys may not have kids yet. Start praying for them. Right? Start asking the Lord, you know, on their behalf. Pray, and as you do have kids, and even if you don't have kids, pray for the kids in Noah's Ark. Right? Pray prayers for protection. This is an evil world that we live in. There's so many things that come against families and children. You know, pray for guidance. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill them up every single day. Pray for their peers and their friends, their future friends, because at one stage, they're going to have more influence than the parents are. Man, I'm really dreading that time, right? And you know, at some point in their life, I mean, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but there's going to be a point in their life, you know, puberty, that all of a sudden the voice of their friends becomes a little more louder than even the voice of their parents. Right now, my kids listen to almost everything I say. There's going to be a point where they're not going to listen to me anymore. You know, right now, they want me to hang out with them and play with them. There's going to be a point they're going to have nothing to do with me. Right? And so I'm trying to savor as much as I can right now. You know, but in that, pray for their future peers and their friends who are going to bring that influence in their life. Pray for their strength. Right? This is amazing. This is the best thing that you can do for your children, your future children, the children of Noah's Ark, is to pray. Now, thank you, Atticus, for that little interlude, because it goes into something I want to say. You know, for you guys that are parents here at church, feel free to bring your kids into service, okay? You know, I've been preaching for a long time, right? It doesn't bother me, okay? If your kids cry out, you know, my mom used to always say, that's what kids do. They cry, right? Oh, that's their job. And so don't get mad when they cry. And so if your kids are in service and they start crying or whatnot, trust me, it doesn't bother me. Feel free, you know, to do that. I mean, if you're more comfortable sitting in the back, that's fine too. Now, if your kids, I know some of our kids like to run down the aisle and kind of go crazy, right? It doesn't bother me, you know, all that much. Now, if they start screaming and whatnot, it might start bothering other people. And so, you know, you should, as a parent, you know, just kind of restrain as well as you can, if you can, that is, right? But I want to say this up front, just so everyone knows here, that as a church, it's not something that we want to discourage from happening, okay? And things, and so feel free to bring your kids into the sanctuary. We want them to be, you know, in the presence of God. And not that the church is the only place where God's presence is, but there's something about when the gathered community comes together and worship, there's an anointing, a presence that happens in that time. And so feel free. Trust me, it's not going to bother me. It may bother some people around you and stuff. And so then just, if you're that kind of person, just find a seat where there's not a lot of kids that next to you, right? And so, which means that you may have to come to church on time. Right? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Right? So it may mean that you may have to find some real estate somewhere. And so please do that. And, you know, I'll give you an idea. Most of our kids are going to sit in the back of the church, okay? And so it's going to be loud in the back of the church. If you don't want to sit in the back of the church, come early to have a seat in the front of the church. I mean, that's the easiest thing. I'm like a genius right now, you know? And so just come and grab a seat, and then you don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff. I found this prayer online, and, you know, I was just looking up prayers for children, and I really liked it, so I just want to read it to you. Maybe this is a sample prayer that we can pray, you know, for our kids. And this woman wrote this in this article on Christianity Today, and just simply said, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this treasured child of mine. Although you've entrusted him or her to me, I know that he belongs to you." Now, this person went from male, female to just male, okay? So I'll just read it just like it is on the internet. "Like Hannah offered Samuel, I dedicate my child to you, Lord. I recognize that he is always in your care. Help me as a parent, Lord, with my weaknesses and imperfections. Give me strength and godly wisdom to raise this child after your holy word. Please supply what I lack. Keep my child walking in the path that leads to eternal life. Help him to overcome the temptations in this world and the sin that would so easily entangle him. Dear God, send your Holy Spirit daily to lead and guide him. Ever assist him to grow in wisdom and stature, in grace and knowledge, in kindness, compassion, and love. May he serve you faithfully with his whole heart devoted to you. May he discover the joy of your presence through daily relationship with your son Jesus. Help me," and I really like this, "help me never to hold on too tightly to this child, nor neglect my responsibilities before you as a parent. Lord, let my commitment to raise this child for the glory of your name cause his life to forever testify of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen." Such a humble prayer. All right, Lord, help us as parents. You know, Parents that are in this room, we need a lot of help. I mean, we really do. You guys that don't have kids, you have no idea how difficult it is. You will one day, right? It's going to be a blessing. But you have no idea. Parents here, we need a lot of help. And that's where you step in, especially as a single person. Right? This is where you step in to be that example for them, which gets to my next point, number two. What do our children really need? Number two. I only have 2 points. So this is the last one. Number two, they need role models. They need role models. You know, our kids are always watching us. This is something that still to this day boggles my mind. The first time I recognized this, when I used to live in California, my sister, my brother-in-law, and my little nephew moved in with me, and they were going through some financial difficulties, so I asked them to move in with me, and they also brought their dog, which was quite an adventure. And so they came in, and I would pray for my sister all the time in our living room. She was going through a lot of stuff, you know, financially and also marriage issues. And many times in the evening, I would pray for her. And I would typically, you know, as a charismatic, I'd always lay my hands on her. And I'd always pray in the spirit. And then I'd pray in English and whatnot. And my little nephew, he was probably like 1 and a half. And he was just learning to walk. And he picked up on it. And one day I was praying for my sister. And my little nephew walked in. And he just came in, you know, kind of meandered on his way. And then he laid his hands on my sister, and then he closed his eyes like this, and then he started going, blah, 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 blah. I guess to him, that was kind of speaking in tongues, you know? And it was crazy. I was watching him, and I was like, and he'd do this, and he kept doing this for months. He would just walk in, and whenever we were praying, and he would just walk in, and he would do the same thing. He would lay hands, just like I was doing. He'd lay hands. He'd close his eyes. He'd bow his head, and he just started gibberish. You know, and I guess he was praying in his own tongue in this regard. And my sister and I were kind of looking at this. Wow, it's amazing. You know, our kids are always watching us. They're always examining us. They're always looking at us. You know, and I want to say this, and I think that's a good thing. You know, I think it's really good. Now, some of us are really, you know, bent out of shape. Oh, my gosh, I got to get my act together. Yeah. You gotta get your act together, man. I mean, that's just the simple reality. You know, and I want to say to the church community, let's give our children a visible demonstration of God's love and His power. And in a simple way, that's saying so that when it's their time to trust Jesus Christ, in other words, when the Spirit of God starts knocking on their door, that the decision for our kids is an easy decision. Because, you know, they'll look and say, yeah, I want to become a Christian. I've seen, you know, my Uncle Nate and the way he worships God. You know, I've seen, you know, the way that, you know, my aunties are loving me. And I've seen the way that my aunts and uncles in the church and are loving the Lord and being generous. And so when it becomes their time to trust Jesus, it's like, yeah, of course. Of course I'm going to trust Jesus. Right? Of course I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Because they would have seen an incredible, visible demonstration of God's love and God's power. Think about this. Why do people, when they intellectually believe in the message, right, when they and grasp the Jesus and the principles, why is it so difficult for them not to accept Jesus Christ? It's because of the bad examples. It's because of the hypocrisy that they've seen. You know, and all these things. And I want to say, let's get rid of all that as a church community. Let's be genuine believers. And let's really give them a visible demonstration of who God is. Right? Let's show them, you know, by the way that we treat one another. You know, even in our home, some of you guys that were at the retreat, it was an amazing retreat. And in one of the sessions, we had a parenting seminar. And so all the parents and the new parents, we came out and we got together and we were sharing. It was really wonderful. And it was crazy. It was kind of a parenting seminar, but it kind of turned into a marriage seminar. And at the same time, and the panel speakers and everyone that was there, it was all everyone sharing together. And one of the things, the biggest message that was shared over and over and over again was that if you really want to teach your daughters how to be true, real daughters, and your sons how to be real men of God and whatnot, and then every person there said, you best pay attention to how you treat your spouse, right? I mean, if you really want to teach your daughter to grow up to be a woman of God, to find a godly man, it's going to manifest in the way that I, as a father, as a husband, that I treat my wife at home, right? The way that I speak to her, the way that I look at her, right? And so if they're seeing that modeled in me, right, they're not going to go after some knucklehead. You know what I mean? And so they're going to know what it means to be loved and what it means to be cherished. In the flip side, with females, you know, and their husbands, I mean, you want to teach your young boys, men, how to be real men, right? In that same way, when women and the wives really honor their husbands and really respect them, right? And really show them preference in that way, and then they're going to see that. They're going to see, oh, this is you know, what it means, and you know, how to treat women, you know, and vice versa. And it's going to be this beautiful thing. And so what our kids really need are role models. And they need to see this Christian life thing really lived out. They need to see the community of grace, every single one of us, really loving. They need to see us as parents reading our Bible, you know. They need to see us praying, and they need to be involved in what we do together as the people. It's so important for them. You know, our kids are watching us all the time. One time, my wife and I, well, we went away on a trip, and so and this is one thing we love about our church community, because you know our family is not here in Hong Kong. It's just my wife and I. But you guys are our family, you know, for sure. And so the times that my wife and I were able to get away, and it's usually because we were doing a wedding somewhere in a foreign country, and so a lot of the teachers and a lot of you guys would come over and watch our kids. And I guess one night they did like a skit or something during dinner, and I guess someone of the teachers asked them, you know, what's it like at home, you know, with Pastor Sam and with Lisa? And the skit basically went like this. They were sitting at the dinner table, you know, and then I think Elise played me and just said, "Amma, where's the kimchi?" You know? And I guess, and they were like laughing, and then my wife would say, "It's coming, it's coming!" You know, and they just kind of went back and forth, and that you know, to be honest, that's probably every mealtime that we have at home. I say, "Hey, where's the kimchi?" You know, and then it finally comes out. But it's so amazing what our kids pick up from us. And even here in church, I'm not even talking about home, even here in church, our children are watching us. They're watching every little thing that we do, and it's creating these imprints in their mind, right? Let's really give them a visible demonstration of Jesus in our lives. A lot of times, for myself, I really, really hear the Lord speak to me in so many ways. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to my kids, I feel like the Holy Spirit always whispers in my heart, "Sam, what do you want to model? What do you want to model?" And really, the question is, you know, what is the message that I want to give to my children? Not the message that I'm speaking. That's only one form of communication. The most powerful form of communication is through action. What do I want to say? What does my life speak of? I remember when I was, this is early on, and I have a home office. I actually do all my study and preparation at home. And so I have a you know, a little room where I do everything. And so usually here at the office just is meeting people, doing admin, that kind of stuff. But I do most of my deep study and preparation at home. And that's always been a habit of mine. And so one time I was working on something, and you know, and I'm a typical guy. I get in the zone, and you know, once I'm start downloading from God, you know, I'm just going to work, man. I got like a couple books here, and you know, I'm just going at it. And one time, my daughter Elise, and she was probably about 2 years old at the time, she came up to me, and she was standing right next to me, and I didn't even notice. And so now I was going away, and I could hear Elise say "Appa, Appa," which in Korean means daddy, "Appa, Appa." And I was going at it, and I saw her, but I was just going at it. You know, I was just doing my thing, and the Holy Spirit just came down, and he just said, "Sam, what do you want to model?" And at that moment, I had to make a decision. I'm doing God's work, yes. But what am I going to model to my kid right there? Am I going to model to her that work is more important than she is? I mean, I was under a time crunch, right? But is that what I'm going to say by ignoring her? Because see, what you do and don't do has a message attached to it. You may not know it, but your kid knows it. And the kid grabs a hold of that. And so, right? And so in that regard, what is the message that I'm going to model to my children? And I decided right there. So I just put it down. I said, okay, you know, I'm going to model to my kid that she's the most important person in my life. And so I just put the sermon away, attended to her needs. You know, she only wanted to watch me for like 10 minutes. You know, that was short attention span. You know, and so just whatever. And I got back to my message. And by the grace of God, everything finished and whatnot. But it's amazing our actions and the volumes they speak to our kids in this way. You know, as a church, what are we going to model to them? What are you going to give to your kids? Will it be Jesus? Or will it be your anger? Or our pettiness? Or our hurt? As aunts and uncles, right, what are you going to model to the children here at Noah's Ark? And this is my charge. Let's give our kids a visible demonstration of God's love, of God's care, of God's discipline, of God's joy in the Lord. Amen? Today, we're going to do something a little special. Today, we're going to have an opportunity to model and pray for our kids this morning. So why don't you guys come? All the kids, we got all the Noah's Ark, the youth group kids are coming. If you're a parent, you can grab your kids as well. A bunch of them come up to the front. Today is actually the International Day of Prayer for Children. So all over the world, churches are praying and dedicating their kids. Today also happens to be Pentecost Sunday. And so it's like this convergence. So it's quite powerful. And so we want to combine the International Day of Prayer for Children as well as Pentecost Sunday today. What an amazing thought. One of these little kids is the next senior pastor of Solomon's Porch, man. Praise Jesus. Right, so come. All your kids come. Parents as well. Yeah, you guys can just scatter around and make space wherever you can. We've got a lot of kids here. Thank you. I know this is going to be mayhem. It's okay. We're going to bless our kids today. Okay? If you are here and you're pregnant, right? I want you to stand up where you're at as well. You don't have to come to the front, but I want you to stand up. We're going to pray for you as well, okay? So if you're pregnant, so as parents, okay, I think you're going to have to jack me up a little bit. As parents, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I just want to encourage you to just pray over your kids. As a congregation as well, I mean, it's a little packed in the front. I want you to extend your hands, and I want you to just lift up what I'm praying for today, for you guys and these guys that are here. I'm praying for a spiritual connection. I want to ask God to put some families in your heart. And you're going to make that connection with these families. And you know, you don't have to be their godfather or anything like that, or godmother. But just commit to pray for them. Just really let them out. And commit to be that example, that role model in their lives. Does that sound okay? And so go ahead and lead us in a song. Parents, just over your children. Listen. I think there's the presence, I believe there's a presence of God here to just prophesy over your kids. Call out things in the Spirit over their lives right now. Be bold in what God has put on your heart over them, and just allow the Spirit of God. It's okay, they can come on stage, it's okay. Just allow the Spirit of God just to touch them right now. Noah's Ark teachers and people that are there as well. If there are some people that are standing, I know Trish is pregnant. I want some people to go and gather around Trish and others and lay hands and pray for them. Oh, let's go before the Lord. Let's like a mighty river. Let's go before Jesus and just lift them up before the God right now. Guys, to grab some of our youth group kids that are here. They're going to be in the aisle. You're going to lay hands and pray for them. Right, this is where you can be involved right now. God's blessed us with an incredible youth group. Let's come up our seats. Let's pray for them right now. Let's ask God's hand to move them and prophesy over them. Draw them to Jesus through your prayers. Huh? Right, grab some money. Right in the middle of the aisle. Go ahead. Pray for them right now.
Oh, Father, we thank you for your father's heart here today, God. We ask you right now that you would strengthen the gifting of leadership in the men at Solomon's Porch in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the men at this church. Thank you for the fathers at this church. We praise you, Lord, that you've ordained them. It's only by your will. This church exists and was created. It's only by your will that you've brought these men here this morning. You've ordained the men that are here this morning to be here at Solomon's Porch, God. We give you the credit for that. It's not a coincidence that these men are here for this day of blessing. So, Father, we as a body, we want to pray a blessing of the Lord Jesus over the men at Solomon's Porch. We pray that you would loosen the blessings of humility over the men of this church in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would loosen the blessings of righteousness over the men at Solomon's Porch in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would loosen the blessings of joy over the men at this church in the name of Jesus. We pray that the men at Solomon's Porch would confess their trespasses to one another and pray for one another and repent that they may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So bless our men with effective, fervent prayers as fathers. Bless our men with effective, fervent prayers as husbands. We pray for unity in the families of this church in the name of Jesus, God. Unity between the husbands and the wives in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would raise up a generation of leaders from this church that would go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, into Hong Kong, into China, into Asia. Raise our men up as leaders in your church, leaders in evangelism. Would you strengthen the gifting of evangelism over the men at Solomon's Porch in the name of Jesus? Bless them with generosity, God. We pray that you would bless them with hearts of generosity and liberality and stewardship. Father, weaken any attack of pride over the men at our church in the name of Jesus. Thank you for them, Lord. We pray for the children here, God. Thank you for these little ones that you've entrusted to us. We pray that you would bless our children. Bless them with salvation, God, that salvation would spring up from the ground, that righteousness would rain down from the sky, that revival would come to our children, God. We ask that revival would come to the children of this church in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bless our children with revival, God. We need you, Jesus. Our children need you, Jesus. We're desperate for you. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Thank you, Jesus.
Head-on's going to pray on behalf of all the moms.
Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for this privilege, God, of being able to steward your children, Lord God, that you have given to us as a blessing, Lord. So, Father God, I just lift up all the moms right now and all the to-be moms, Lord God. And, Father, I pray for just grace, Lord God, God, and wisdom, Lord God, to be able to raise our children in the way that you want us to, Lord God, that these children may, Lord God, there will be a great model, Lord, for them to follow, and, you know, that they would follow you with all of their hearts for all the days of their lives, Lord God. I just pray, Father God, that as moms, Lord God, that we would look to you, Lord. We'd look to you to just really commit our children unto you, Father God. Father, that we would just commit to praying for our children, Lord. God, that we would commit to praying for our husbands, Lord God. That we would commit, Lord God, to praying for this body, Lord God, for this church, Lord God. And that we would come together in unity, Lord God, to see that your name is glorified, but in the way that we just, you know, raise our children, in the way that we pray for one another, in the way that we encourage one another. So God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord God, as just as women, Father God, to just really, you know, to just commit, Lord God, to obeying you, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Can I ask everyone to rise to our feet? Let's sing this song together. Kids, the words are on the screen. If you can read, that is. Let's sing before the Lord.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I'll wait for you. touch restores my life. So I wait.
As parents, God, as a church, Lord, to do everything that we can, God, but everything that's possible, Lord, for our children to walk into the purposes of God. Lord, we thank you for that privilege, Father. Lord, watch over them. Give us strength as a community to raise our kids in a manner worthy of the cross, Lord. And so we bless you, God. We love you today, Lord. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. If you made a spiritual connection with one of these kids or whatnot, please come and tell the parents and spend some time together. Enjoy some refreshments, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week this week.